This week, Buffalo Joe races a piece of history that history forgot.
The show begins.
The water bomber crew sweats it out overseas.
What a waste.
To try and keep Mikey's promise to a rock star.
Bada-boom, bada-boom.
And a rookie gets a lesson as dense fog pushes AJ to make a last-second call.
You're up.
Well, this is the auto shop. This is where we do all the ground support equipment maintenance.
Buffalo Joe McBrien is gearing up for an unusual mission.
So this is a snow plane.
In a plane unlike any other in the Buffalo fleet.
Snow plane means it rides on the snow, it doesn't have any wings. If it had wings, it would be in the hangar. It was built out of aircraft parts and aircraft construction. And it was built during the 30s and 40s. Mainly to travel across the prairies. Police use them, game wardens, mainly doctors going from farm to farm, midwiving, stuff like that.
Snow planes opened up winter transportation on the prairies. Joe's is a fudge model. They were built between 1929 and 1956 and designed in Saskatchewan.
Fallon and Hay River had two of them, and so that's what sort of piqued my attention is watching him drive his around.
It's like getting in an airplane. You got to get in a little bit at a time. You can't get in all at once because it's not that big.
Joe couldn't resist the chance to buy one when the chance came up.
Yeah, there it is, just like that. You got a steering wheel out of a Ford truck, but all the gauges and switches are all out of aircraft. It's all aircraft construction, eh? It's an airplane without wings. If you put wings on it, it'd probably fly. Probably fly pretty good. I'm gonna have to get a bigger one so I can get in and out of it.
And the real heart of this machine is the power of an airplane.
Most people like to use an aircraft engine because for the horsepower and torque, it's very light. It's not a heavy cast iron engine like an automotive engine.
Joe's engine came out of an Avro Anson military training plane. It's a smaller version of the engines on Buffalo's Warbirds.
Well, I'm just going to take the battery cables up, Joe, and let's see if it will start.
And today, Joe and mechanic Gordy Pirro are firing up the snowplane for the first time since Joe bought it.
We should take it out in the refueler.
The snowplane still needs a lot of tuning up, and they can't even run it at full power inside. But Joe's determined to take it out on the lake by the end of the week.
We'll go over 100. Well over 100 mile an hour, I know that. We're pushing all that power, not much weight.
But stopping is another matter, because the one part the snowplane doesn't have is brakes. It's Friday morning at Buffalo.
We're open for business.
Usually in the morning, Rampy Chris Staples gets to head north.
Oh, that's not good.
This is actually a fairly thick layer of impact ice. This actually can make flight very dangerous, so we got to take care of this before we can fly today. So.
Chris has been roped into running Buffalo Cargo. What he really wants to do is fly. So he comes in on his day off to help load the C-46 for a chance at some stick time. Like all Rampies, Chris is an aspiring pilot. He left Victoria, BC for Yellowknife and a shot at flying for Buffalo.
Actually, I came up here strictly on a whim. I can't really determine exactly when I decided I wanted to be a pilot. It's really as far back as I can remember.
And one plane has grabbed his imagination, one of the most challenging in the world, the monster warbird C-46. The Curtiss Commando C-46 was designed in 1937. It has a tall fuselage, fat tail, and a small rudder, making it difficult to control and earning nicknames like the Whale and the Curtiss Calamity. Over 3,000 commandos were flying the skies of the world by 1945. Today, there are fewer than 10 still flying, three of them at Buffalo. For a young pilot who wants a challenge, there's no better place to be.
I've had the attitude and mentality that if I want something, you know, I work for it, especially when it's something that you're passionate about. Like, for me, it's flying. If I can find a fast track to the C-46, I was going to take it.
But this morning, Chris has learned there's a roadblock on that fast track.
Are you allowed to
have... I mean, fair enough. If they need help, but it's just like, yeah. I'd like to get another flight in if I could.
Instead of co-piloting the 46, he's been demoted to pushing pallets on the DC-3.
They need help in the 3, so they boot me off the 46. They got Travis on there, so that's enough help apparently. So
I'm just going to go flip my lunch and get the airplane.
You know, get me wrong, I love the DC-3, I love the DC-4. You know, I think flying the scale with Joe would be a great experience, but, I mean, I'm here for the C-46.
Just really wanted to get a little extra time in the 46, you know?
You know, he's got to shake it off and know that the next time, you know, it'll be better.
But next time, Chris is in for another unpleasant surprise.
Just
landed in Istanbul. I think we're gonna go driving to Edremit. Not sure.
Buffalo's water bomber crew is heading to a reunion in Edremit, Turkey.
We'll meet again.
Corey Dodd and Justin Simley have come all the way from Yellowknife to see an old friend.
Yeah, this is the one we did the crossing with last time.
Yeah, he's definitely been working.
But
it's fast.
Last spring, Corey and Justin flew the CL-215 water bomber across the North Atlantic when Buffalo leased two of the planes to the Turks for fire season.
We flew halfway around the world.
Yeah.
That's right. Amazing.
Great job.
Now Buffalo needs to transport the planes to get them some much-needed maintenance in the UK.
I haven't seen this girl in... Wow, no.
And Mikey McBrien's come along to make that happen. But for him, this will be a whole new world. Today, dealing with customs, which means a time-wasting detour.
So it should be lost.
So we're planning about 3.5-hour flight?
No, it'll be 4, Mike.
We're gonna do the old f***ing zigzag, bro. Zigzag routine.
It's too late.
The problem with Mikey is he doesn't get out of the hangar. Ever.
What a waste. He's backtracking.
This is an awesome eye-opener for him. Because he wanted to, you know, like plan this day. And it doesn't work that way. It's aviation.
Mikey's upset that the crew has to head 1,200 kilometers in the wrong direction to clear Turkish customs.
Yeah, hopefully we can get through customs in a day or two and get on our way. But, I mean, we're already 6 hours behind schedule now, so... The show begins.
Okay.
You ready, Corey?
Yep, I'm ready. Rock and roll.
Hello.
So are we heading direct to Izmir then, guys?
Yeah.
All set.
Justin, Captain Nigel Clark, and the Turkish liaison set their course.
Clear for takeoff, runway 05, Charlie Yankee November.
50 knots.
V1.
Check.
And VR.
Gear up.
Gear it up.
Today, instead of heading towards the maintenance facility in Cardiff, Wales, the crew is heading in the opposite direction to Adana, where their second plane and crew are already waiting.
Charlie Yankee November is clear your zone to the south, 10 miles.
Charlie Yankee November, affirmative. Have a nice flight.
Bureaucratic delays mean Mikey's carefully laid plans are slipping away. Plans to connect with his buddy, the rock star.
Last summer, I was lucky enough to meet the legendary rocker Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden.
Dickinson is lead singer of the iconic metal band. They call him the human air raid siren. But he bonded with Mikey over planes.
Would you say that was the drama queen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Bruce is a longtime pilot and captain of his band's Boeing 757. A few months ago, he toured Buffalo and tried out its vintage planes.
Go back. Left rudder. Okay, I'll see what you mean.
He even impressed the toughest captain in Buffalo, Joe himself.
Yeah, you're doing good.
Fantastic.
You did a wicked job.
And he made Mikey an offer.
We have two airplanes that we really just need a space. Bruce Dickinson happens to have a space.
That space is a mammoth aviation maintenance facility called Cardiff Aviation. And it's a lot closer than Yellowknife. Bruce is traveling on business, and Mikey's been trying to link up with him en route to Wales.
His schedule right off the bat was thrown off. Right from the get-go. You could tell he was getting stressed out.
Okay, 105.
Gears down, we're clear to land.
Heading into Adana, Mikey's hoping that they can clear customs quickly. But this wrinkle has changed their flight plans and route.
We still don't know what stops we're going to make, where we're going to be. We're just hoping that the stars will align on one of the stops.
Adana, here we are.
Oh, that's it. Wow. Feel the heat, eh? Mine's Mikey.
My name is Lincoln. I'm Jack down the planet. Yes.
Tomorrow will be Customs Day.
At least it's supposed to be Customs Day, but Corey and Justin have been tied up in Turkish red tape too many times. And they know better than to put much faith in planning.
You think it'll be done tomorrow?
Yes.
That would be the fastest dealing with Turkish customs I've ever seen.
See what happens tomorrow. Tomorrow will be the day of reckoning.
So I think it's the start of our adventure today, eh?
It's another early morning on the Buffalo Airways ramp, and Chris Staples is supposed to be heading north today.
So I looked at the weather this morning, and it looked like it was pretty good up the valley today. So
Chris lost his last shot at flying the C-46, and he's determined to get his flight time today.
I'm getting on this airplane. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. I don't anticipate any problems.
Hey, Chris, how's it going, buddy?
But Captain A.J. DeCoste has some news Chris won't want to hear.
We got four people, full airplane. Hey, Chris, are you coming today, or since Matt's coming, are you staying here?
What's that? I don't know. I was told I was coming.
I just saw on the board that Matt needs an hour and a half of training.
Really? Oh, jeez. Well, that's a huge bummer, if that's true.
One of the other junior co-pilots will be taking Chris's seat.
You know, it's really frustrating with you. Like, find a babysitter and grab a lunch.
But Chris isn't giving up. He calls Buffalo's operations manager to plead his case.
Okay, right on. Hey, man, am I on this plane today or not? Yeah, I did. Oh, okay. All right, I'll talk to AJ. Thanks a lot. It's a go.
All right, boys, let's go flying.
Glad to be aboard?
Absolutely, always.
Co-pilot David Alexander and mechanic Adam Smith are joining AJ for this trip up the Mackenzie Valley.
That's our Buffalo 3-6, she's ready to go.
Buffalo 302 Tower. Left turnout, wind 280 at 5 to 10, clear for takeoff on
Wing 34. Left turnout, clear for takeoff, 302. Left
And once the freight is delivered, Chris might just get to fly the empty leg back home and get some time to try learning this beast of a plane.
With either, it's just all the little things that really just takes years of experience to really grasp.
Today, the weather is turning ugly up the valley, and Chris could get a lot more experience than he signed up for. In the back of the Buffalo Yard, it's time for a moment of truth. Buffalo's auto shop mechanics, led by Gordy Puro, are doing final checks on Joe's vintage machine.
What we got is a very old snowplane.
The snowplane packs a 450 horsepower punch, a Pratt & Whitney Wasp engine, pulled from a British-designed World War II training plane.
Contact. There's music in those roaring exhausts. It's a symphony of singing steel.
Early in the war, the Avro Anson also served as a bomber and flew coastal patrol.
We're going to try and start this up.
No brakes, nothing. You hold to the floor and hope for the best.
Now it's time to see how power meant for a 6,000-pound airplane.
Just stand clear of the prop, okay?
Yeah.
Runs at full throttle.
We changed the mag points on it, and we put a new fuel filter on. We did the same thing you do with an airplane engine to get it going again after it's set for a season.
If Gordy gives the thumbs up, Joe can finally take the snowplane out for a spin. The verdict is in. And tomorrow, a snowplane will roar across Great Slave Lake for the first time in decades.
Hello. 302 is 13 miles to east, swing the field in 4 minutes. Can we get your advisor, please?
In the air over the Mackenzie Valley, the C-46 crew closes in on Delaney. And Chris, the extra member, is brushing up on the plane's standard operating procedures, itching for his chance to fly.
The setting is going good there?
Yeah, I'm just going through the SOPs, emergency procedures, stuff like that.
Good. Yeah, it's pretty keen, for sure.
But as AJ prepares for his approach, the weather is taking a nasty turn.
Delaney, check. Can the trees all clogged here? Freezing fog. This south looks like about a mile.
What do you say about fog? There's fog.
A bank of fog below the plane is obscuring the runway from view.
Okay, we'll go down no lower than 1,000 feet. I'm going to take the props up 2,300 on the approach. Roger.
AJ will have to descend through the fog and find the runway. If they still can't see the runway when they get down to the minimum altitude of 300 feet, they'll have to abort the landing fast.
No matter the mess, it'll be straight out. I'll get the props, the trim, set the power, flaps run out, board and get the gear up. Any questions? No, all right, good. Gear down.
Chris is about to get a real lesson in northern flying.
Buffalo 302, 3 mile final, 26.
They're hitting the cutoff point. AJ needs to see the runway right now. With the ground approaching fast, all he can see is fog.
Not the best approach, eh?
No, not at all.
Captain A.J. DeCoste is descending through thick fog towards Delaney.
Not the best approach, eh?
No, not at all.
He has just seconds to find the runway and commit to his landing.
No idea where I'm.
Or abort and get back to a safe altitude.
Anything I may flop up to a quarter?
AJ makes his call.
You're up.
And ditches the landing.
Go power one. contact you. Buffalo 302 is the best.
Check. Are you going to try again or some other time?
Yeah, we're going to go over to Homeworld and then I'll get you on the way back.
Check that.
The overshoot has been a big first for Chris Staples, who's eager to fly this plane himself. He'll get his chance before the day is over.
You want to go to Toledo, then back to Delaney?
Yeah, we'll go to Wells, Toledo, then go back to Delaney.
Right. Hopefully the fog will burn off this afternoon.
In Turkey, the water bomber crew needs to get their planes to Wales.
She's a dirty girl, that's for sure.
You start seeing oil on the
horizontal stab. It's time to do some maintenance to the engines, because they're leaking pretty good.
But the mission is still stuck in customs snags, and temperatures are rising.
Man, it's f***ed. It's only 10 to 30.
All their plans are falling apart.
You're going to live or what?
Fine.
You want a hug or anything?
Going over to Turkey was a culture shock for me because they're a little bit, let's solve this tomorrow. And we're like, well, no, tomorrow we want to be gone.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Everything's no problem, right? But nothing happens.
This was our whole point in why we had to get the airplanes out of Turkey, because we can't do maintenance there. Being held up 5 days here or 10 days here, it doesn't work. You know, so we had to, that was our biggest thing, was we had to move those airplanes out of there.
That's not a forklift load, that's a half load.
Well, it's the Turkey world, so this will take us probably a couple hours to load us up.
And so far, nothing is moving quickly, including Buffalo's load of spare parts.
Let's load this guy this way.
Did you take on the whole thing? Think we're going to go here today?
No.
And Mikey's big plan to meet Iron Maiden frontman Bruce Dickinson is a big question mark.
You know what, it's not every day you get this many missed calls from a rock star.
Bye-bye, Kenny Pittsburgh. Have your phones on charge. Just trying to find out what's going on. Give me a shout.
Yeah, Bruce has basically cleared up his schedule, and I can imagine someone like Bruce would have a crazy schedule, so he's cleared it up for us. We really lost our chance for Bruce to meet us in Turkey.
Hello, Mikey. How's Turk?
Oh, Turkey's, at least it's warm here. We're in Adana.
Are they showing any signs of letting you out yet?
Customs is supposed to be here in about 20 minutes, but they've been telling us 20 minutes for the last 2 days.
But Bruce is still willing to try to meet up.
I could try and make sure I get down to Limoges, and I can probably still jump on the airplane with you.
Yeah, that'd be absolutely perfect.
Okay. Let me see how that works out.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Bruce.
Yeah.
Bye.
Limoges, France is still three stops away, but Justin has new hope that they might get moving soon.
Customs is done.
That was customs. In about 20 minutes, they're going to bring the fuel truck over. So maybe 2 or 3 hours from now, we'll get the fuel truck.
The bottom line is we showed up here yesterday at 8 o'clock in the morning to get fuel for the airplanes, which is now, we're almost time to leave here again. We still don't have fuel. So that's why I don't get my hopes up.
Until the planes are fueled and in the air, none of the crew can really get their hopes up, especially Mikey. On Great Slave Lake in Yellowknife, Operation Snowplane is in full force.
Okay, Eric, grabbing it.
Gordy and the team are getting the plane ready. And the pilot is on his way to make a little history.
Yellowknife probably has seen a snow plane out at the bay for 30, 40 years, so maybe even longer than that. So that's what we're going to try out today.
And Joe's son, Rod, the family's biggest gearhead, wants to see how this airplane engine-powered relic compares to his modern snowmobile.
Grand Touring at its best.
Clear.
Do a couple of loops here first, I guess. Just around here.
Before it even travels a foot, the snow plane's attracting a lot of attention on the lake.
People just want to come down and see what all that noise was. And rightfully so, it is something you don't see that often anymore.
It's got an airplane engine for power, and no brakes. So Joe's passenger is in for a wild ride.
It's quite a ride at High Mountain Arc. The lake's still pretty rough, so it's not like a torsion bar, spring steel, air ride. It'd be a pretty shaky in there.
And on this plane, Joe is still a rookie pilot.
Usually, it doesn't really put a scratch on anything with wings. If it doesn't have wings, it usually hits every stump or rock or chalk in the yard. So we'll see how he does.
That looks like an aircraft engine.
Oh, yeah, that's an airplane. Yeah, we've built it's an airplane with no wings. Jump in, I'll take it for a ride.
You want to take me for a ride?
There's only one spectator who's still a little skeptical.
Anytime you put a radial engine on skis with no wings, it's kind of waste of thrust. Like, I mean, your intent usually is to get airborne so you can get away from Earth. We're just going to drag this thing around in the snow.
So Rod decides to test Joe's vintage machine against his own state-of-the-art snowmobile. The snowplane is giving Rod a good run for his money. Until...
You got a fuel. Should have checked the fuel myself, but we've been out a little longer than we anticipated. We don't have a gas gauge in there. We thought we had more fuel in than we did. Yeah, we're going to have to go get some gas.
I'll just wait here. We'll see if Gord got any gas. If not, I'll just talk.
Until Rod gets back, Joe and the snowplane are stuck. In the sky above Delaney, Buffalo's C-46 crew is making a second attempt to land.
Hey, you got the runway 12 o'clock.
AJ's made his other stops, hoping the conditions here would be cleared up on the way home. And he's letting his young co-pilot David handle the landing. And landing the C-46 never gets easy.
A bit of power, 80 knots.
Yeah, that 46, you got to keep flying it and just keep practicing.
This your flaps coming down here. Good on, buddy. Out of control.
Go.
Coming along good.
Hey!
Chris Staples has come along today, hoping for his own shot at proving himself in the right seat.
Okay.
Well, yeah, it's my chance to get in the hot seat, eh? So better than just sitting there watching everybody else do it, reading the manual, which is important.
But. I think, you know, one engine of the C-46 weighs about as much as the airplane I was flying before. You know, it's definitely nerve-wracking.
Everybody who starts on the 46, it's always a hard time. It's always hard to do.
Now that the plane is empty, Chris will get to face that challenge. And AJ's letting Chris tackle the takeoff.
It's all clear on the left. All clear on the right.
You're nervous just because you want to do a good job and you don't want to do the wrong thing.
Okay, crew briefing yours.
Roger, repeat. 89, 93, 49 inches.
You don't want to say the wrong thing.
I like to call it 30 inches of power.
Or just give the wrong impression.
3.08, 9.5.
Yeah, I can feel that, no problem.
Roger.
But before he even gets off the runway, Chris is making his first mistake.
All right, you're 30 inches.
Better.
The other one is the left.
fighting wind on the runway, Chris is using his brakes to keep the plane straight. Crosswinds can push an accelerating plane off the center line of the runway, so the pilot needs to raise the aileron on the side of the wind and lower the one on the opposite side. If a pilot applies the brakes to fight the wind, he'll be dangerously slowing the plane down right when it needs speed for takeoff. Even though Chris maintained enough speed this time, AJ wants to break this bad habit.
So did you get a little bit of brake to get you straight again? Is that what you did?
No.
You did. You were on the brake a little bit. Okay?
I was?
Yeah.
So
I just feel it.
Chris is off to a shaky start.
Firm about to 9?
Yeah, we'll go up to 9,000.
He'll have to sharpen up and prove himself before his day and his big chance are over. Out on Great Slave Lake in Yellowknife, Buffalo Joe is waiting for some roadside assistance.
We don't want to ever run out of fuel in an airplane. Airplanes do run out of fuel, but we don't want to run out of fuel.
But he did run dry in his snow plane.
So we're out again.
Now Rod and Gordy have to come to the rescue.
I had to just run to my house for my emergency supply.
After a 40-year absence, Joe and his pit crew want to get this engine revving in Yellowknife once again.
Turn the pulse pump on.
There you go.
They prime the engine.
You look up to the top. That's it. Yeah, that was what we do. Yeah, and he's got her going again. Okay, spare on, aux power on.
Yep, pumping.
Mags, it was there.
Rod primes the engine with more gas.
Clear.
But once again...
So we got a fuel stoppage.
So I might as well just pull.
Air in the gas line has brought this historic day to an end.
We'll load her up, take her home.
But Joe did bring a little history back to life today.
Good for the younger generation to see what the transportation of that period was, would have been like.
And he's learned one important rule about this unique vehicle before its next run.
Oh, yeah, we'll top up the tank. I might even take some extra fuel with me, but of course, in something like that, there's no gas gauges, so you just got to gas extra fuel.
All right, well, let's take her back to hangar.
Buffalo C-46 flies the final miles back into Yellowknife after the mission up the valley. He had a misstep on the takeoff. Now, Chris Staples has one more chance to show what he can do when he lands the plane.
Take the friction off there. That's the mid power until we touch down.
As hard as the 46 is to fly, it's far more brutal to land. So AJ's giving strict instructions.
I say pull back, do I want you to pull back? Do I say hold it? I want you to hold the attitude on the stick.
Roger.
Understand?
Keeping the big plane straight is the first challenge, but there's a bigger one. Landing with the right attitude, the plane's nose-to-tail angle relative to the ground. He has to pitch the nose up enough so he doesn't bounce and smack down onto the runway.
Hey, don't start firing back away yet. Keep her coming down.
After lobbying hard to be here, this is Chris's last shot today to prove he deserves this seat.
Okay, there you go. Start firing back. Keep her coming down a bit. Keep her coming down a bit. Start pulling back. Pull that right there. Pull that right there. Control.
Yeah, control.
Good job, buddy. Thank you.
Well, pretty good. That felt great. It's been a couple weeks, so I was getting itchy fingers there.
And the next one will be better.
He's come along good. He's interested in the airplane, likes the airplane. He's in the books all the time. So you can't beat that.
I think I really set the bar high for myself. Sure, I got all this time and everything, and I know I'm going to get it, but I can't drop the ball. I have to stay on top of that airplane.
After days of delay, the water bomber crew has flown across the Mediterranean to the island of Corsica.
Tanker 283 coming up behind us, and Arthur Chalker, oiler and fueler en route.
You got a ground alert?
Right here?
After this quick refuel, the convoy will be just one stop away from Limoges, where they're still hoping to connect with their famous passenger, Bruce Dickinson.
We're ready for taxi, runway 05 for the IFR to Limoges.
Charlie Yankee, November. Clear for takeoff, runway 05.
All right, set.
This 1,200 kilometer leg will take the two water bombers back to the European mainland. From Limoges, they'll continue on to Wales, where the planes can finally undergo their much needed maintenance.
We're just on approach into Limoges, France. Everything's running good. Sun's setting. We got a beautiful sunset. Looks like we're going to be able to meet up with Mike, his friend Bruce, and everything's kind of falling into place.
Yeah, approach Alpha Yankee November, requesting lower.
1,000 to go. Check 1,000.
Landed in Limoges, France. This is our final stop before meeting Bruce. Bruce is in Stockholm right now, en route to Paris to jump on a train to meet us here tomorrow.
Oh, my Limoges is hurting. I'll make up something out of you one of these days.
These planes need to get to Wales, and the crew can't afford to wait around for Mikey's guest.
Limoges, once we landed, it was just like, poof. Okay, it's not up to me anymore. I got the airplanes here. It's up to Bruce now to make it here on time.
Tomorrow, Mikey will find out if he can keep his promise to his hero.
Bruce has sent me a message. He's on his way, so the boys are getting the airplane fueled up. So,
for the last week, Mikey McBrien has been trying to make this moment happen. The arrival of a rock god.
Bruce! We made it!
We made it!
God.
Right on.
Euros and...
good to see you.
Kronas and God knows what on me.
Oh, right on.
I've been all around Europe.
Bruce Dickinson has zigzagged across the continent for his chance to fly on Buffalo's CL-215.
We beeline it straight for the airplanes.
Cool to have one of these based in Cardiff.
launching off and putting things out. All we need is a few more forest fires. It's a big old duck.
Nigel, Bruce.
Hey, Nigel, how are you?
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Hi.
Bruce, our chief file justice.
Hey, mate. How are you, mate?
Nice to meet you, man.
Cool. Hey, how are you, man?
Good to meet you.
I grew up with his music. To actually meet him was awesome.
Hey, we're on our way. John's got his APU running.
How we going?
Sounds like it.
With the chance to try out a new airplane, this celebrity has some studying to do.
Yeah, pretty good to be a good of plumbing to operate this airplane.
What's not standard is the location of the switchery. Switchery, lots of switchery on it.
Tickle it, tickle it, tickle it. Or label.
It's kind of like a job creation scheme for pilots, you know. Got a load meter for the pitot heat. That's cool.
2,000 pounds side. It's enough to get us to Cardiff.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Hope so.
Cool.
That is not going to be a big splash.
Yeah. Well, we've got our boat, so we can float.
That's it.
You all set, Mr. Dickinson?
Well, vaguely.
Clear for takeoff 17 Alpha Yankee November.
Ready to go. Europe. Actually, I'm going to let Justin here, and he'll fly with you.
Cool.
And then I'm going to go have a bite to eat in the back.
Yeah, sure.
After days of misconnections and frustration, Bruce will finally get a crack at this piece of Buffalo's heavy metal.
5x5, Charlie Yankee November.
Bada boom.
How you doing?
Cool, we're 126.950, just chatting to the same gal
same
who
gal.
We chatted to before.
You enjoying this?
Sometimes it looks like wrestling rubber snakes, but that's my fault.
Oh, I don't think so.
It felt a bit like driving a big flying London bus, because you were so high up and it was so square and boxy, you know, and lots of interesting switchery.
This is quite nice, just sitting in, you know, chilled out.
Yeah, no stressing.
I can only imagine what it's like when you're actually operational and whizzing around close to bodies of water and things like that.
Charlie Foxer, Alpha Yankee November, what do you want?
Okay,
thanks, Bruce.
See you, man.
Yeah.
As the ducks finally descend into Cardiff, the effort's all been worth it. Bruce got what he wanted, to fly a legendary plane.
Charlie Yankee, uniform Cardiff.
Roger, clear to land runway 31.
How you doing? Thanks, guys.
Good to meet you. I was thinking,
how are you?
Mikey.
Hey,
nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. It's good. We're here. It's the end of this chapter with Turkey, I guess. It's kind of funny. It's like all of a sudden, you never think it's going to end, and then all of a sudden, that's it. It's done.
Thanks to the Buffalo crew, the Ducks have a home for the winter.